Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the barnyard of Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're listening online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide, one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film, currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list.
Our top three list.
Always inspired by the movie in question. Thanks, Max.
You're welcome. That. I just wanted to punctuate that.
And we're going
to
introduce you in a minute. I can't wait to do that. This week, the movie in question is the 2011 Rope 'em and Ride 'em documentary, Buck, the much acclaimed story of famed horse whisperer Buck Brannaman, directed by Cindy Meal, and queued up by Matthew St. Hoodie.
All right.
So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. Or if not, heck, man, you know, you keep listening, see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. That's the way this game is played.
Right.
So let's get on with it here. I'm Michael, your host, as always. To my left, James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know, I'm doing all right. I had a pretty good week.
Good.
Did you have a good week?
I did.
You know why I had a good week?
I'm sure it has something to do with equines.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't have to sleep in an old barrel with a dog in the winter.
Jeez. Yeah.
That's not bad.
But you like the cold.
I do, yeah. Especially when I curl up with a dog in a barrel.
It makes it easier somehow.
Did you know I did not have to talk to Robert Redford while wearing my chaps?
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
And guess what? Unlike my wife, I was not jumped on and bit by a big, strong, raging stud. I think she said his name was Gary. I don't
know. Oh, that's
we need to have a talk with Gary.
Yeah. Wait, that didn't sound right. Yeah, I had to get that out. I've been waiting for a week to say that, you know.
Well, there you go.
And you've been waiting for a week to get that out.
Yeah, I could not wait. Right. Let's go to you, the big, strong stud to your left, and that is
Gary.
Gary, you're Gary. All right, you raging stud, Matthew St. Hoodie, patron saint of quality outerwear. Are chaps considered outerwear?
They Jeez. Certainly are.
Yeah. I'm mostly a waist-up guy.
I'd say they're protective wear.
What about the ones with no cheeks on them? That's what I'm talking about.
You'd have to ask Adam.
That's
about
for
that.
Fun.
Did you wear your? Is he dressed up like a cowboy, like I asked him to?
Producer, are you good? Oh no, he's not. He's only wearing chaps, which is really awkward.
That is our producer, the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast.
Yep.
Adam, the Bomb Rogers, and you're darn tootin'. He's all right.
Howdy,
howdy, partner. Just in town for supplies,
except for you, Michael.
Whoa. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Yeah. Hey, what's happening?
He's to my right. There he sits.
Yep.
Always so anxious to hear what you think about films. I always can't wait to hear what Max thinks of films.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm honored.
I could take it or leave it.
You're a liar.
I wonder what you'd look like riding a horse. I've never seen you riding a horse.
I have ridden a horse. I used to own horses.
Really? A pony or a horse?
We had two horses.
I picture you riding one of those little miniature ponies.
Did you whisper to them at all? Or?
Sometime.
Let's talk about how to keep up with this before we get into the movie, 2011, documentary Buck. Yeah, you have Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Max.
iTunes.
Talking about YouTube channel, too. A lot of people have been going there lately.
Yeah. YouTube
channel. It's the YouTubes.
I don't care what you do. You just Google it, the Q Filmcast. You'll find us. But I say, why do that when you can go to theqfilmcast.net? You aren't kidding. You're darn tootin'.
That's darn tootin'.
You're darn tootin', Savage. Go to theqfilmcast.net. You go there, you'll find, heck, you'll find reviews. You'll find breakdowns of what we thought of previous films. You'll find a synopsis on all of us, our story.
It's like a big mystery machine.
It is like a big mystery machine. If you want to leave your review of this film or of any film we've reviewed, that's fine. You can do that. Or even tell us how we did on this. We like listener feedback. We dig
it. Is that how country people talk?
I have no idea. Did you like it, though?
It was interesting.
It was interesting for about half a second. So let's get into it, guys. QFilmcast.net once more. Go there. Tell us what you think of this film. Let's get into it, guys. Let's cue up the conversation. And I'm not talking about the film from last week.
No.
I'm talking about this movie.
Yeah, Buck.
2011 documentary, Buck, queued up by the patron saint of quality outerwear, that is Matthew St. Hoodie.
That's me.
Been a while since some documentaries been in the queue here.
It's been a while.
Last time he picked one.
Right.
Yeah. That's my thing.
It's been a while.
He makes documentaries about weird dudes.
If it was really Marwin Call, it's been a while.
I think it was Marwin Call. It was the last one we did.
Something tells me there's been another one in there, but there hasn't been.
Samsara.
No, nah, it's a screensaver.
You stole my joke. Sorry.
I hate all you.
What made you cue this up, Hoodie?
When we were doing our family plan, I initially went to my sister and asked her for a movie, but she didn't get it to me in time. So I went to my dad and got his, and I got an angry phone call in the middle of the night, and she said, "I'm doing this now."
Snoozers or losers.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're going to do it now. It's an extended family plan.
There you go.
Family Plan Part 2. Well, I like it because this has been in my queue for a while, and I always look for that one more reason to watch a film. Come on, just give me one more reason to queue this thing up. I've been looking at it for a year, so I was excited to see you pick this. I've been wanting to see this, and you've seen this before.
Oh, yeah, more than a couple times, yeah.
Anybody else seen this film?
Nope.
Nope.
Producer?
No.
Well, you're welcome.
No. Okay, well, I hadn't either, so yeah, this is a good film to get to. Did you know, real quickly before we get into reviews, did you know that people who like this also liked Wild Horse, Wild Ride?
I'm assuming it's all horse movies.
I've never seen it.
It's not, because they also liked Euro Dreams of Sushi.
Oh, I love that movie.
Get out of town. That's a great movie.
Anybody seen this?
Yeah.
You've both seen it. Savage, yeah. You seen this?
No.
Does he literally dream of sushi in the film?
That's all he does.
That's all he thinks about is sushi. He's 24 hours, 7 days a week sushi.
Producer, you mentioned this film to me once. Did you like that sushi
film? I've never seen it.
Oh, well, maybe I was...
I just like sushi.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. I have no idea. Producer dreams of sushi. And they also liked, and this makes no sense whatsoever,
Battlestar Galactica.
Monster High Escape from Skull Shores.
Wow.
What?
You topped me.
Why does that come up?
Does it have Scarlett Johansson in it?
Seahorses.
Seahorses are in it.
Oh, is that why?
Maybe.
Oh, come on.
I have no clue.
It says Wild Horses, Wild Ride, Euro Dreams of Sushi, and Monster High Escape from Skull Shores.
Never heard of that.
I would have thought like Man from Snowy River and Brokeback Mountain or something.
Yeah, well, you can go there if you want to. Yeah. As all these films.
Well, I'm just thinking.
Cowboys. I don't know what Skull Shores is.
Yeah, modern Cowboys.
As always, these films inspire top three that we get to at the end of the show.
Yeah.
This is no different, Savage.
No.
Hoodie, you know it's no different.
No different.
This inspired top three chivalrous cowboys.
That's a tricky word.
What is chivalrous, Max?
I'm going to defer to him because I'm not even going there.
I think it just means polite. It just means
that's
orderly.
What I thought it meant. Right. Polite, nice to women, chivalry.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a...
No, the etymology comes from the French word cheval, which means horse.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's where we get chivalrous from. But it was associated with knights in the Middle Ages, and it comes to be nobility, courteousness.
James Hartsup Savage, everybody, the original search engine.
But there's a flaw
the original search engine.
Knights are bad dudes. They're not good people.
Interesting.
Knights
man.
Are protectors.
Nope, knights are bad people.
Well, darn it, man. We're talking about chivalrous right. cowboys, white hat guys.
That's it.
As we talked about earlier in the film. All right, well, let's get into this. Ratings from the critics before we get into ratings from us. And let's do that. IMDb, Savage. What do you think IMDb gave the 2011 documentary?
It's a blank, point, blank something.
It's a blank, point,
okay,
blank.
Yeah, I was about to do it.
Buck.
7.9.
Oh, you're so close. He's within the margin of error. 7.6.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty close.
Did you cheat?
It was a little high. No, it was a little high.
I'm proud of you. Usually you're way off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not good at this game.
Bullseye for you. Let's just say it. 7.6 on IMDb. Hoodie. Rotten Tomatoes.
88.
Critics gave 89.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, you were so...
I don't cheat. I didn't cheat.
Good on you, buddy.
For the record.
From now on, I'm going Savage, Hoodie, Gumbo. IMDb critics users. Now I want to see who hits the mark.
All right.
First one gets a special prize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pair of chaps signed by me. I have no idea what it is. Gumbo, users on Rotten Tomato gave this film, Buck, what?
Critics went 89.
Yes.
I'm going to say 83.
Oh,
that's not a good one.
Critics and users for the first time were tied at 89%. Both of them gave 89.
Wow.
Get out of town.
Yeah, so there's some love for the film. You have 7.6.
Wait, let's stop. I win.
Yeah, you win.
Okay.
Hoodie wins.
Keep going.
That's Hoodie a precedent. Wins.
You still don't get the prize. You have to get it dead on.
I'll do it one day.
Yeah, you're going to cheat next week.
I don't cheat.
Let's talk about the film. Let's talk about what this is, this documentary. Let's talk about it and come on back with a trailer, and then we'll come back after that and tell you what we thought of this film. Buck, 2011, documentary based on Buck Brannaman, who inspired the film The Horse Whisperer. Here's what you have. Buck, a richly textured and visually stunning film, follows Brannaman from his abusive childhood to his phenomenally successful approach to horses. A real-life horse whisperer, He eschews the violence of his upbringing and teaches people to communicate with horses through leadership and sensitivity, not punishment. Buck possesses near magical abilities as he dramatically transforms horses and people with his understanding, compassion, and respect. In this film, the animal-human relationship becomes a metaphor for facing the daily challenges of life. A truly American story about an unsung hero, Buck is about the ordinary man who has made an extraordinary life despite tremendous odds. Let's take a break. Let's go outside. You know, maybe clean out the stalls. Take a trip around the old pasture. What else do cowboys do when they take a
rope?
Break?
They listen to trailers.
Drink some sarsaparilla.
Maybe we'll get some shoes. Make some coffee.
Yeah, make some coffee. Straight up black. Remember that.
It's got to be black.
Yeah. We're talking about Buck, 2011 documentary directed by Cindy Meal. We'll come back, tell you what we thought as well. But right now, let's take a break. Here's a trailer. Buck.
Is it a horse trailer?
Oh, come on.
Oh, God. That was even bad for my taste.
I have no idea. But you know what? I'm chomping at the bit to hear it. So here you go.
First time I saw it was amazing to me. It just blew my mind.
I thought, what kind of voodoo stuff is this? He walks into a round pen and 5 minutes he's got a horse following him around like a dog.
Everything you do with a horse, it's a dance.
You always hear about breaking horses. There's a whole element of abuse, really.
And you don't realize how unjust it is until someone shows you a different path.
A lot of times, rather than helping people with horse problems, I'm helping horses with people problems.
In this particular discipline, you have to be a sensitive person.
See there? She's trying to protect herself. There's a change.
That vulnerability is what makes you great.
That's why so many of the folks that are really good at this are, sometimes they're tortured souls.
So there you go. There's a piece from the film we're going to talk about, the documentary, rather.
Yeah.
2011 Buck. The story of the horse whisperer guy, Buck Brannaman.
The horse whisperer guy.
Directed by Cindy Meal, queued up by the patron saint, Matthew St. Hoodie.
That's me.
Let's talk about this film a little bit of facts. There wasn't a whole lot, actually, on IMDb. I have some cool stuff, though.
Well, that's all that counts.
A couple of things. Did you know that the real Buck Brannaman was born Dan Brannaman? His name's Dan.
Oh, yeah. Buckshot was his given name.
Yeah.
They lied to us.
Not given name, but his show name.
Nickname. Yeah. You think this movie would have been the same if it was just called Dan?
Nope. Wasn't that a movie? Or
it was Dave. Dave. Yeah.
Dan.
Dan, the horse man. Let's talk about Buck quotes.
Buck quotes.
Buck quotes.
Look it. I even put exclamation points. Buck quotes.
That's how I said it.
Dun, dun, dun. Enough of trivia. We want to know some Buck quotes. And if you've seen the film... picture Buck saying this. If you haven't, you better get back and to us later.
Cue it up.
Yeah, cue it up. Buck says, "You can." I'm trying to say it like Buck. You cannot make yourself feel something you do not feel, but you can make yourself do right in spite of your feelings.
That's right.
Well, that's good.
Buck also says, "Every great mistake is a halfway moment, a split second when you can be recalled and perhaps remedied."
Oh, that's good.
You like that?
Eh. Buck is a wise man.
Buck is a wise man. He also said, "I feel no need for any other faith than my faith in human beings. Like Confucius of old, I am absorbed in the wonder of earth and the life upon it, that I cannot think of heaven and the angels."
Good on him.
Good on him. But you know what the last thing I want to read is a Buck quote? I think he's speaking directly to us. "The people I used to have around me from Nashville was showing love to the Cash Money clique and the strength of Buck trying to make it. Making sure Buck gets to where he's got to go." I don't know what that means. I saw Nashville. I got excited.
Yeah.
So that's it. Let's talk about the film.
It's not us.
Let's talk about the film. If you want to hear more from Buck, watch this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we can even recommend a movie, but let's figure that out.
He should write a book. We should commission that.
I was about to say, he should write a book. The Buck book.
The Buck book.
He's so busy.
He should sell it for a buck.
Yeah,
right? Exactly.
Could you imagine the Buck book being sold for a buck by Buck?
Yeah. A digital book, he could sell for a buck.
He should get Tyler Perry to help him with that.
Yeah, the Buck book. Plus a buck. Let's talk about currency because, you know, Max, come on, Gumbo. You know, we don't use stars or thumbs up.
No.
Why is that?
Because it's dumb.
It's stupid.
Stupid.
It's so dumb. We let the film tell us how we're going to rate it.
Yeah.
This show is no different.
Nope.
No, we decided we're going to go with a... I totally forgot.
It's an excellent currency.
You want me to say it?
I want you to yell it.
Wild Stallions.
Top three wild... I'm sorry. 1 through 10 wild stallions.
It's amazing. I'm crying a little bit.
Wild is spelled with a Y.
A wild spelled with a Y stallions. Okay, well, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie, the man that queued it up. We're doing it. Tradition, you're in the hot seat, man. You're going to lead this thing off. Out of the gate you come, out of the pen you roll, into the pasture you stroll.
Whoa.
All that sort of stuff. 1 to 10 wild stallions spelled with a Y. How many?
8.
Going up there with 8.
Yeah, giving it an 8. I really like this movie. It's great.
You don't see too many stories built on these things, relationships with horses.
No, not pretty rare. I can't think of another one.
Yeah.
The Black Stallion?
Nope.
No, I don't know. I'm just picking stuff.
I guess so.
I'm National
not really,
Velvet?
I'm not even a horse guy. My sister's had a horse since she was like 13. I never paid any attention. Still really don't. I mean,
yeah.
It's like that. She's always been a horse woman?
Horse girl.
Cowgirl.
Nah.
Equestrian.
Thank you, Adam. You look at this. Holy smokes. Adam with a real word over there.
So you like the film, yeah.
Good, it was great. I mean, and I like it for the philosophy. I think it can be, I think it says in the movie that this really, his philosophy towards horses can really be applied to everyday life, very much so.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think the world would be a much better place if everybody watched this and applied it.
I totally agree. To say this is just a movie about horses is not quite there.
It's a bit more. It's not.
How about to the young stud, the stallion, the unneutered one next to your right there?
Whoa,
that's Hard Sub Savage. Let's go to you. He went up there with 8. Where are you going?
Yeah, I had a difficult time trying to rate this movie because I always find it difficult with documentaries because they're not really films.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, they're stories. This guy had an interesting story, backstory, but what he did isn't really unique or special, so I have to go with a 5.
Jeez, you're okay right in the middle.
Yeah, well, I have some experience with horses. I'm kind of an amateur horseman myself, so this world is not foreign to me at all.
Okay.
So I can speak on it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, there's different ways to look at it. The horse end of it and then the philosophical end of it, which what he got into.
Sure. No, and I get that. I get all that, but.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that. I want to hear your take on where it maybe fell off a bit, what you liked, all that sort of stuff. How about the producer? The greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. Let's jump over there, Adam. What you going to give Buck, 2011?
Megan, I love you.
Oh, no.
That's my
saw
sister.
This coming.
This is a preface.
But Buck sucked.
Oh, look at that. He's been waiting all week for that.
One.
Wow. How is that possible? Even if you didn't like it, I don't see how anybody could hate it.
It was horrible. It was stupid.
It's not a movie. It's a documentary.
So whatever it is.
It's a film. It's a movie. It is a film. And your taste has retained its terribleness.
And this is exactly why the world will never be a better place.
Yeah. It's funny because Hoodie just gave this thing about people should watch this and embrace it. And it would be a better place. It stopped.
Because it was boring.
I love you, producer. You know what? I've been waiting for the producer to come back. I feel like he's not come back to us.
I can't believe he gave it a 1.
Wow. Yeah, right?
1. Oh.
That's a return to form, though.
Yeah, I've been waiting for the return to form.
There it is.
Jeez. All right, here we are.
All
is right in the world.
How about you, Gumbo? What do you got? Let's talk about Buck 2012.
I'm so disappointed and elated at the same time in his review. I'm going to have to go. I can't go there. I'm going to go 7. 7 Wild Stallions. I like the movie. I liked a lot of the stuff about him. I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked that guy.
Yeah.
My only problem with the film was that I'd have to watch it again. I didn't see any real reason that this is hard to put into words without making it sound like I'm a jerk, but I didn't see anything that special about this story. I didn't see why there needed to be a documentary about this guy.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the guy. I love the guy. He seems like somebody I'd love to hang out with and everything. I like what he had to say.
Yeah.
But I didn't get an immediacy from it. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Too. Yeah.
That's the only thing that kind of kept me from going a little higher.
This guy makes the thing float.
He does.
I mean, it does. Yeah.
And I'm not knocking him or anything there. I didn't feel that sense that like this was something
that you needed to know.
That I needed to watch. And like, wow, this is an important issue facing this world.
I want to go on the road with this guy. I want to go talk about horses with this guy and travel around.
Kindness isn't an important issue facing the world.
See, that's why I said it's going to sound terrible the way I say it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. Just treat people however you did before you saw the movie.
All right, so that kind of brings it over to me, right? I always like to go last because I talk so much in the beginning. I'm somewhere between a 7 and an 8. I'll go 7 for now. I don't want to focus on the negative like Max did. I do want to focus on what he said, which is, this guy's great. I thought that,
it's a great duality between what he does as his job and who he is as a person. It kind of goes back and forth between that. And in the end, it's just all Buck's story. I really warmed up to the guy. I really warmed up to his life, who he was. He's a guy that I just wanted to keep watching because it was so genuine. But in the end, yeah, there's not a lot of overall weight to it. I didn't feel like it was heavy or profound as much as I was hoping, but it is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because the way he tells his story. So there's no reason for me not to recommend this film. If you have any inkling to watch it, I'd say watch it. There's a lot I liked about it.
I'm same, same.
So yeah, let's get into that. I'm certainly not going to give it a one. I like the film a lot. I watched it twice, actually.
I'm not going to give it a one. Like some people.
How could you give it a...
I don't understand. Even people who hate it, I don't understand how you give it a one. Because it can't be offensive. Yeah. Like, you can give it a one because it offended you.
Well, maybe Adam hates give it a horses.
One. Okay.
He hates horses. It offended him.
Yeah.
Even on a scale of just documentaries, it's unfathomable that you give this a one.
Well, my reasons.
Listen, all right, we'll get into
it. I can't
that.
Wait.
I can't. We'll yeah, I can't wait to hear these
so
reasons.
So if you were in a room and you had this movie or a blank wall, you would pick a blank wall. You
would prefer to watch a blank wall.
Okay, good.
Seriously.
Right. Yeah,
we're with
amazing. How about you, Hoodie? Let's get over to it. Let's get into the conversation now about why we landed where we landed. You went up there, 8, kind of like me, liked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why, man. What was it that stood out?
First off, I just really like knowing that there's Buck in the world. I like knowing that he's out there. I'll never meet him. He'll never meet me. But I like knowing that these people are that he's out there and that he's influencing other people to be more like him and to adopt his philosophy. And he's not forcing anything on anybody.
No.
I like his matter-of-factness. One of my favorite parts of the film was when the woman came in with the horse that just couldn't be broken.
Right.
And he let her know basically how awful she was, as nice as he could be.
Yeah.
And he, you know, said that the horse, you know, mirrors you,
mm-hmm.
and the horse is broken because you're broken, and mm-hmm. she was reduced to tears. And it wasn't like he was preaching at all, I didn't feel like. It was just kind of how he is.
Yeah, I think if there's any point in this film where you thought he really was just mugging for the camera or wasn't being genuine, you would sense it. You never sensed it.
No, you
didn't. So let's talk to Savage here, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get completely on board with you there,
Sure.
Hardy. I'm with you all the way. Let's go over to Savage, though. He went a little down on the scale, 5.
Yeah.
Pick up where he put it down. What did you like or not like about this film? Why did you go 5?
Well, I like Buck Benjamin as a character, and I think he's got an interesting backstory. And, yeah, he's the traumatic childhood, and, you know, that'll get you so far. I mean, but there was some success with the childhood. He was a Wheaties kid or the Sugar Pops kid or something like that.
Like Corn Pops.
Yeah,
Corn Pops.
So there was some success with the abusive family, and that's why I find it hard to rate documentaries, because I'm not trying to demean or diminish or belittle anybody's life experience. That's, you know, if that's really what happened, hey, you know, that's your life, and it's far be it for me to judge your life. As a horse trainer, what he does is not unique. It's not special. There's a whole wave of people. Now, Tom Dorrance, the guy that he learned from, he was kind of an innovator, and even that's kind of suspect because...
Well, wait a second. What was the name of the guy that he deferred to in this film? It wasn't
Tom Dorrance. Tom Dorrance is the guy.
Okay, I don't remember that. Okay.
Maybe he's the godfather of this style.
Yeah,
of this realizing that horses are prey animals, and their first reflex is to run. How to interact them instead of breaking them, trying to work with them. So this whole kind of holistic or compassionate way to interact with a horse.
Okay.
There was a whole wave of these people. I mean, there was a...
I don't think that's the point.
No, but it's... but
that doesn't play into the power of the story or the beauty of this documentary at all. I mean...
Well, it's presented as the story of the Horse Whisperer, and even in the documentary, that's debunked. This is not the story of the Horse Whisperer. This was a specialist that they brought in to help with the movie.
Okay, that's like a segment in this, but the whole point of the movie is that you apply this not only to horses, but I apply this to my relationship with you, you know?
Well, that's what he's saying, and it of course it works that way, because if you can have compassion with this animal, you can have compassion with your fellow human being.
That's not as easy for some people as it is for us Buddhists.
Yeah, the resident Buddhist. Savage, can I say this real quick, though? You're kind of almost playing it off like there's a bit of a fraud going on in this film.
No, I'm not.
And it's never portrayed like that.
I'm not saying that there's
a
fraud.
He never ever claimed that this was his own. Matter of fact, there's a big part of this film where he throws back to, you know, I learned this somewhere else.
Right.
This is not mine. I'm just simply another messenger in a line of messengers.
I
don't understand how that's a slight on the film.
I'm saying that it seems to be presented in a way that what this guy's technique is unique.
Okay.
And it's not.
So that bothered you, the fact
it,
that...
It did. It didn't bother me.
They're trying to sell something that you think is not
accurate. But as a documentary, I think it fell a little flat to me. And that's not to say his own personal story and what his personal project or agenda is in life, you know. And basically, he's just trying to make a living helping people train horses, you know. And that, hey, good on you. Because a lot of people got zero business having horses. They're big, giant, dangerous animals. And if you don't know how to interact with these big, giant, mm-hmm. dangerous animals, you'll get hurt.
Yeah, you'll get your forehead bit.
Absolutely.
Right through your hat.
And he knew what he was doing.
There's a guy in this film gets his forehead bit through
yeah.
a hat.
Yeah, and most people have no business having horses.
Well, you've actually, I know when we first started chatting several years ago, you had a couple of horses.
Yeah,
you were with
every,
who had
every day, man, every day.
You'd come
I was
you'd
doing
tell
this.
Me about your horses.
I was doing this. I was using these techniques to try to interact with these
okay.
horses.
Okay, but you know what I'm going to say to you is that, all that aside, this is a story about those techniques.
Yeah.
Delivered by a man who's extremely, I think, competent at
absolutely.
It. Whether he's first, second, third, well, fourth, in line,
no,
whatever.
Absolutely.
And I think the film is not at all a victim of any kind of a fraud at all.
I never used the word fraud.
Okay. But you don't think that the techniques that you were using and he uses are special in any way?
Not in that way. I mean,
not in what way?
And they're not unique. They're
not unique, but they're still special. I mean, you say it.
I
still look at Buck and say that's a special guy. What he can do with a horse and how he can talk to
me—he's
very
accomplished
at
his skill set. Yes,
yeah.
He is.
You know what
that's
we need to
special.
Do? Real quick, let's go around the table, tell why we landed on what
yeah.
we want to. I want to get back to this, talk about scenes that
sure.
took you one way or another. How about Gumbo Johnson? You went 7 like me.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They blatantly addressed in the film. This was nothing new. This was something he learned from other people. They never said that he was better at it than anyone else. They just said he came up with his own way of presenting it in these seminars that he was doing around the country. The movie is not about that.
No.
Right.
It's not.
It's somewhat about his techniques with horses and how people follow him, but it's mostly about, you could almost say this guy goes around giving almost life lessons on how to be a better person, of how to treat fellow creatures on this earth and how to get along and how to be a happier person.
Yes.
And how to just be happy. I mean, he yeah. says that to one woman. He says, what are you doing that for? I want to do this. So, well, that doesn't sound like you're being happy. That's the point of life, is to be happy, and you're doing something that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that if it doesn't make you happy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't think there was this super weightiness to this film, but not every documentary needs that. I mean, one of my favorite documentaries of all time is The King of Kong, which is about these two guys fighting to get the top score on Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's the best documentary ever.
It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
I bought the DVD. I haven't watched it yet.
And is there anything earth-changing or weighty about that? No, but you can look at it and get some lessons about how to treat people and how to go about trying to accomplish your goals. Mm. I think this movie has a lot more in common with that than a lot of the more quote unquote serious heavy documentaries you could find out there.
Yeah.
And I watch a lot of documentaries. I enjoyed this one. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as a lot of people did, but I'm not going to knock it for the reasons you did. No
yeah,
way.
Yeah. All that falls to the wayside
no
for me
way.
Because you just laid down a point that I want to pick up. I think it's more about a guy who takes his broken life, his broken childhood, and figures out a way to make the life around him unbroken. The life around him better, the life around him more meaningful, whether it's his or the people that he comes across.
Well,
he
says it in the movie. He says, you know, when he got away from his dad and got to the foster parents, he looked at what his life was and said, okay, that is the exact opposite of what I want the rest of my life to be.
Yeah. He was basically a broken horse.
He really was a broken horse. And I like that. Really, I really like that about the film, the parallels between our life as humans, our broken lives of horses. The same principles that are applied to fix these horses are the same ones we can apply to fix ourselves, right? Let go of the reins just a little bit. And that really is how he gets these horses to trust, you know? And I think that's how he gets people to trust
him
as well.
I think that's a key word in the whole movie. You hear that over and over and over. It's trust, trust, trust,
yeah,
trust,
yeah.
trust. I mean, you hear it. They must say it 300 times in the span of 90 minutes.
So when I know that's the backbone of this film, everything else kind of is like, okay, I don't care. You know, anything else doesn't really matter to me. Just keep it on that theme. Keep it on that thread. I want to find out more about this guy, where he came from, where he's going, and what his message is. And that's really all I held on to.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how authentic and who's first in line with all this stuff, it didn't really matter to me.
Hey, I don't find that was the main focus of the movie to begin with.
Let me tell you what I thought about this film.
Pile on James.
Yeah, sorry, James.
Well, I mean, you're misquoting me and you're misinterpreting what my point was. I mean, I never said that he misrepresented himself. And I've never said this was the point of the film. I mean, this is a thing that fell flat with me. I'm not dismissing his accomplishments and him as a person and his personal story. I liked his personal story.
Okay.
But we're talking about the entirety of a film watching experience. Yeah. And these things that fell kind of flat with me.
I think what you're wanting to say is, why are they making a movie about this guy and they didn't make a movie about,
right?
Why didn't they make a movie about that guy?
Well, maybe, and I didn't even really think about it that way. It's just, well, but it's like you make gumbo, you know, and it's like you're watching a movie about somebody like, well, if you cut okra, and I realized that you cut okra to make gumbo, and you're like, well, that's how you make gumbo.
But this movie's not about gumbo, and I don't think it's really all about horses or training horses.
And I'm surprised that the three of you are trying to out-hippie me.
Okay, I got you. Well, tell you what, we'll get into scenes in a minute here, and right. Before it's all said and done, we're going to get over to the producer, number one, going down,
right.
Laying a big horse apple right on the ground, boink, number one.
Yep, we're all going to turn around and look
that's
at you.
That's fine.
To me, you know what? This film is genuine and open. And I tell you what, Buck tells his story in that cowboy way. It really does exist. The cowboy way exists.
Sure.
That's what I liked about this film. That authentic approach to things with a strong sense of self. Mm-hmm. Living with your guard down. That's what I liked. Buck, in the end, just lives with his guard down. How many people do that?
Nobody.
Nobody does. And it was refreshing to see somebody who did that. He had nothing to hide. I really like seeing people like that, and I think that's what makes the film work, the personality of it, and the way it speaks to you. I'm like with Hoodie on this one. It's all about the way the film speaks to you. And I really liked how Buck tells where he came from. Real heart, real openness. And it's not just this, hey, my daddy used to beat me thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He really shares himself by painting these very personal and open scenes with you. What's that one example he gives? Oh, yeah, where he talks about the grain on the table.
Yeah.
He says, to this day, I can look down
and
I can draw the grain on this table because I was terrified to look up. Well, you know what? Just before that, we learned about how these horses are trained to look down. They can't look up when you're breaking them as they used to be.
Yeah.
So these parallels between him and the horses and you, it all just circled around with one another and it made sense. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff there I could relate to as far as things in childhood that happened.
Sure.
And a lot of it became somewhat personal to me. Once again, too, and then it's the way he tells the story. It's not just like someone gave me some gloves, and boy, they were comfy. That great exchange with the camera when he's talking about the first time someone cared about me as a father figure, they gave me these gloves, and they felt good in my hand. I knew I had work to do. I knew it was going to be meaningful. And all of that, just the way he tells his life, was as eloquent as I've ever seen and as simple and profound as I've ever seen. And that's the spirit of this film. Those little things are sprinkled throughout. It's my favorite thing. I love the language, love the unbridled openness.
And that's what makes him so special.
He does. There's a specialness about it. I love Buck the person.
Yeah.
I love seeing people and things that give me an opportunity to perhaps better myself. I mean, that's an opportunity when you say, I can take something from this. That film did this. This film did this, rather. Uplifting. And we haven't even talked about the gorgeousness of some of the camera work, too.
Yeah, there's
so that's my
shots.
Take on it. Yeah. But that's enough of that from me. Let's go over to the producer. Clean out the stall. Producer number one. Gave it a one. What did you hate about this film? How do you hate this film?
A documentary should be educational and informative. This had no elements of that whatsoever.
Everything I said was crap.
No. Seriously. To me, I have no interest in training horses or anything like that. I'm watching this made me never want to do it or even be around horses, period. And not only that, but this movie left me so mad, I was speechless.
Mad?
What pissed you off about this movie?
You want to get into this? I will start it now.
I do. We're going to give you the floor for five straight minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, this is my thing about this. When the horse bit the guy on the head.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Great scene, yeah.
That horse was crazy.
Horse was crazy, and yet this guy was yelling at this woman for saying that she wasn't... You know, she didn't take care of this horse, even though it was deprived of oxygen for how long?
Right. But if you have 13 stallions in a field, that's dangerous.
Well, why in the world did they have to kill this horse?
It was crazy.
No.
Savage. Did they have to kill this horse?
Absolutely. A horse is a dangerous, dangerous animal.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
But what Michael said...
Did you not see what it did to that guy?
Okay. But what Michael said is that we have to compare us to broken horses. So should we start killing humans?
No.
If they do something wrong to us?
One bites my head.
Depends on what
damn right.
Depends on what
no.
they did.
If we're in Texas.
No. You're in Montana or whatever. You can let these horses go into wild fields or whatever. Let them be. There's no sense of killing an innocent animal whatsoever.
Oh, Adam, that's absurd.
Yeah.
So you hated this. You didn't like this movie on moral grounds.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, that's okay. legit. That's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, if it
is that the whole reason you
way.
Gave it a one is because of that?
No, that, and I didn't think it was educational or informative whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, he stood his ground like a strong stallion.
No,
he stood there.
I get that.
That shouldn't have killed the horse.
Animal rights should come in
on
these guys.
Come on. Give me a break.
Adam, let me tell you something. These people care more about horses. These people care more about horses than I think we ever could understand.
Yeah, so they killed one.
Adam, stop. You know, they understand them. They understand what kind of life they're up against.
Right.
What kind of this horse can't live in the wild. It'll be rejected by whatever element it can be rejected by.
He's attacking everybody, and he's in the most enclosed environment that he's ever going to be in. You're saying let him loose in a field? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Have your stalls. Just let him go. Let him be a horse. They knew that he was deprived of oxygen, that he had problems.
So you got a rabid dog. Just let him go.
Yeah.
That wasn't diseased.
He's a dog. Just let him go be a dog.
I wouldn't be afraid of a rabid
I understand
like Chihuahua,
your point.
Though. You know,
I understand your
wiener
point.
Dog. Let's take a break right now. Let's listen to some of Buck, the horse whisperer.
When I first got dropped off at the Shirley Ranch, I was so terrified of men. And my foster dad-to-be, he pulled in the truck, and I shook his hand, but I couldn't even speak. And my little knees were just about knocking together. Guy's a little guy. And then he spun around, walked back to the truck, and opened the door. And my heart just stopped, because it's almost like a cult that's had some trouble. You don't have to do too much to make them suspicious. Just even move in a little bit of a way that they don't understand or can't comprehend, and that quick they think they need to save themselves.
Buck, 2011, there's a piece from it, the documentary that we're talking about tonight, queued up by Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey.
Patron saint of quality outerwear, including chaps.
And hats, too.
And hats. Mm-hmm. And vests with tassels on them.
Well, they're useful. Tassels are useful.
You know one thing we have never seen is a hoodie with tassels on them? Got to see that.
I don't need to
that
fix
has to happen.
Many fences.
Are they useful? Right? What are they good for?
When you're trying to mend a fence and you're in a field, you break off one of the leather strands, and that's how you mend a fence.
Are you kidding me?
That's why?
Yeah, that's why they wear them.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
I really thought about that.
I didn't know.
Something about her wear. Of course
so
she knows
that.
Right now, if you were in a field and the fence was broke, you'd have to cut off part of your little string on your hoodie.
You cut off one of the little leather things as long as you...
The
that's how you mend the fence.
That's
what are you doing? And you're in a field. What are you supposed to use?
Wait. Huh. So I actually learned something from this documentary.
Yeah, see, I was going
to
say.
1.1.
He's going to 1.1. Well, let's get into what you got to talk about. And let's talk about some scenes that stood out. You think back on the film, 2011, Buck. And you remember what, Gumbo Johnson, what?
The standout scenes is, of course, the unbreakable horse.
Yeah.
He gave it a shot. That was, as far as I'm concerned, that was like the center point of the film.
Yeah.
That really highlighted everything he was talking about throughout the whole movie.
It needed a big lift at that point. It needed something dynamic at that point in the film. I like that.
What do you mean
out.
A big lift? I mean something up?
No, what I'm talking about is
inspiring.
No. I mean like a big emotional punch. You needed a gut punch.
Well, that was it. Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I like that scene too. Is it came in, boom, you needed that.
I actually liked the follow up to that scene where the woman asked him, "Hey, what happened to that the one you were trying to work with yesterday?" He had to tell the little story of what happened.
Yeah.
And he had to go through the whole explanation of why you can't do something like that with one of these horses.
Right.
Yeah.
And explaining, look, you know, it gets to a certain point, there's nothing you can do, and it's a sad situation. If you're going to take on something like that, you better be prepared and be in a good place yourself, or you're going to fail. It made total sense.
Yeah.
Dangerously fail.
Yeah, the guy was not sugarcoating anything.
No.
No, you can't. Not in his position, because it's
dangerous.
No,
you can't.
Dangerous.
It's his job. Well, first off, it's his job.
Right.
You can't go out there and BS people about what's going on with these animals.
Right.
That scene kind of felt set up to me, by the way.
Let's move on.
If it was set up, he would have not broken the horse, but he would have fixed it, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, no, yeah. Right. He would have saved it.
It would have showed his true powers.
He would have whispered to
right.
it.
Yeah.
But the other thing was him the whole telling the story of his childhood.
Yeah.
That was just...
It worked.
And here's the one thing I noticed about this. After you learn about his whole, I mean, it doesn't start out from the get-go with his childhood and how badly he was beaten and just abused and everything by his mother.
Dad.
But yeah, by his dad, I'm sorry. most of the time you'll see a documentary where something like that happens to a kid, and later on in life they're interviewing them, or even if it's a drama or some fictional film, there'll always be this sympathetic moment where they break down or they confront their demons or something. He never did that.
No.
He was just matter of fact. He says, look, this is what happened to me, and I turned a negative into a positive.
He even says, I'm done with that. He said, I'm done with that.
That's part of my past. I don't even think about that anymore. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, I said that earlier. He said he's going to take that and just have the complete opposite life. They didn't go for that sentimentality, cry moment.
They didn't beat you over the head with it.
You would see in so many other movies. I'm just officially going up to an 8. I've talked myself into I've talked myself into liking this movie more than I originally.
It's kind of like
the
cowboy way, whatever that is. It really highlighted a lot of that too.
Well,
that
strong
stiff upper lip backbone kind of thing.
The more you think about it, the more this guy really represents the pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
American. He sort of is the American spirit of what this country was founded by, and what
that
we stand
rugged
for,
individualism
what we represent.
Only,
he sort of embodies that. In a particular way.
Yeah. I think it's Americana done right. And this thing is seeping in Americana.
Sure.
What I mean by that is the open West, the open fields, the open horizon that is your own. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really collective about it. It's just you and your ambitions and the vision of your own existence kind of pulling you along. And that really is like the cowboy way. You know, it's about
doing
what is right, even if you're alone.
Right.
I really like that end of it, too, because it made me want to be a cowboy. I'm sorry, but when you watch stuff like this, you're like, that's not a bad way of life. When you just know who you are and you're okay to share that with everybody in a big sky, in a big field, on a big horse, that ain't bad. Big hat, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Americana of this thing. If I'd say that's what I got to talk about and that's what I remember, I like that. I like the essence. I really like Buck once again when it was just Buck in the screen, Buck in him talking to the camera, talking about his past, talking about those gloves, talking about the grain on that table. My favorite thing is almost every scene without a horse. It's him. Anyways.
Wow, mine's almost the opposite. I really was glad. I mean, him, of course, but a lot of the scenes I was really most impressed with were just the scenes of him on a horse and with a horse. The first thing that really impressed me was when he was walking next to the horse, and he was like, I don't have to tug on the rope. I walk.
Oh, yeah.
The horse walks where it's supposed to, and when I stop, it stops. I walk at a different pace. The horse was right with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anybody who's ever trained a dog knows that that's just impossible. It is impossible to do that.
I have cats.
So it's impossible. I was like, I need this guy to come train my dog.
Who's the size of a horse?
Well, yeah. And then he was calling he was saying the horse is an extension of your body.
Yeah.
And they had the beautiful scene of him, going sideways. You probably know what that's called.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's called something special.
just
in the field, half slow motion, going sideways. Gorgeous. I was like, that's amazing that you can be that in tune with another animal. That's just amazing.
It really
is special.
Yeah. It is special, and
he's
and
very
it is
accomplished. Yeah,
and it sets the tone that okay, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
I like the pre-credit stuff, and what you're talking about is pre-credit. That's before the word buck comes up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and that great shot when it shows him kind of doing the sideways dance with the horse, and he stops. The horse stops. Mm. Jigs to the right. The horse goes.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I've literally
and
tried.
He was doing it with no hands. I mean, all that was done with his legs. He was just squeezing it with his legs to make the horse go
right.
The way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Savage? What is the thing you remember most about this?
Well, I'm completely envious of his job. If I could have that job, I would have that job.
I never want to see you in Chaps.
Yeah, I would. I would totally do that
again.
If I could spend my life being surrounded by horses, I would be a happy person.
You kind of have a cowboy look about you.
Yeah, well, they're
big,
very
strong jaw. You'd look good like that.
He didn't disagree at all.
Yeah,
yeah, well,
I've heard it all the time.
Yeah. Well, they're very spiritual animals. I'd like to think that I'm a spiritual person. I enjoy it, but it's a lifestyle. I liked his childhood. I like his backstory. I mean, he's got the tortured childhood thing.
Yeah.
Where he's unique in that there is actual film work because he was kind of a child celebrity. So there is that to add to the film of Buck, this classic film. And you get to see those weird grips that his father. So it's not just this abstraction of abuse. You can kind of see it in celluloid, which was creepy and powerful.
It was creepy and powerful. There was Buck the man and there was Buck the tortured horse.
Yeah.
I liked Buck the tortured horse. I like that. I like seeing where that came from.
Yeah. But fortunately, he escaped it fairly young. I mean, seven?
Seven, I think.
Eight,
he said.
You know, so went a lot better than it could have, but then I don't know if you're in a
he was caught early.
Yeah, he was like starting a cult. Mm-hmm. Starting a cult. Shot him. You know? But when you're in a foster home with 20 other boys.
21 other people.
You know, riding dogs and stuff.
You know, one thing.
Gotta start somewhere.
Right. One thing that people talk about this film, and I thought the same exact thing, was why didn't we hear from his brother?
That's what I wondered the whole time. Is
he's
he
probably
dead?
A raging alcoholic.
Does he
or
not
something?
Want to be a part of the thing?
I had to Google that. I had to look into that. And they said, well, you know, he thought about getting involved. And at the time, he was away, and he just felt really funny about being on film. He didn't take that abuse the way Buck did. He didn't talk about it.
Right.
And he didn't want to be a part of it. So apparently it was bad.
Yeah. Well, and I like that authenticity. You said stiff upper lip, but I have to take issue
with
that.
British.
Yeah, but it's – and its message, I think, is wrong. I don't think that it's a stiff upper lip because there's no – that implies to me
– guarded.
Guarded or a sense of denial in a way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I maybe should rephrase that.
But he was very authentic and open. It was, and I think that's the lesson he tries to teach is that – to be connected with these animals, you need to be authentic and open.
Yeah.
Again, going into the Buddhist hippie thing, you know, the communing of spirits. Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to mention. I like the scenes with him and his daughter.
Rietta.
Yeah. Rietta, is that her name?
Yeah, it's like a rope thing or something.
I like those scenes because at that point.
I like those scenes. They were just nice.
They were just nice
scenes. They were sweet scenes.
And at that point, you wondered what kind of father he was going to be because you've heard so much about what a terrible father he had.
Oh, I had no doubt in my mind whatsoever about what kind of dad he was.
Well, it was just nice to see that he.
He's going to be gone 9 months a year.
That he was the exact opposite of what we just heard he went through. That was kind of nice.
That's a good point that James just brought up. He was gone 9 months of the year, but they still had a really close relationship that you wouldn't expect. I mean, go figure.
Yeah, nowadays just being there is being a good father. Go figure. Just 1 month a year, you know. Do any last words?
No, I just. I enjoyed it. I didn't get the weightiness of it, but yeah. I am going to go up to an 8.
Should I do it? Should I go up to 8?
Well, I think so.
All right, I'll go 8 to it. Okay. I'll go 8. Just out of respect to Buck, the cowboy way.
I don't think we ever got a count. What's the...
I'll go 6 to respect to Buck.
Adam, you going to go with the 1-2?
Horse murder.
Horse murder. Final word is horse murder.
You went to a 6?
Yes, I'll go to a 6. All just right. Out of respect for Buck.
All right, so there it is, Buck, 2011. Like the film, the more I think about it.
Yeah.
It's not like this, you know, blow your mind documentary, but it's one you should see, right?
Yeah, everybody should watch this thing.
Yeah.
Mandatory, says me.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Take a quick, small break, listen to a very brief part of the film, just to kind of round it out. And you saddle up, we'll saddle up. We'll come back, talk about our top 3 chivalrous cowboys. You darn tootin'.
He came back and he threw me a pair of buckskin gloves. He said, here, he said, you're going to need them. And, they were just beautiful, and they fit me perfect. And I was so proud of them. And he looked over at the ranch truck, and he said, get in. So we took off, and we built fence all afternoon, pounding steel posts into rocks and pulling wire. But I wouldn't wear those gloves. There was just that token act of kindness just giving me something like that. Oh, gee, it meant so much. I didn't want to get them all tore up. So I kept them in my pocket, and I just worked with the barbed wire with my bare hands.
So there it is, a piece of the film that we just got done talking about. We just finished up with. That's 2011 Buck. And it brings us to our top 3 chivalrous cowboys. Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality chaps and outerwear. Number 3, chivalrous cowboys, whatever that means to you.
Man, I don't even know how to do this. Dusty Bottoms.
What?
Am I out on this one?
Dusty Bottoms? Three Amigos.
Oh, okay.
let me guess what the other two are.
Yeah, well.
Did you notice that there's like Mexican cowboys, which is like a subgenre?
Caballeros.
Okay, there you go.
Three Caballeros. That was a
I would love
cartoon.
To do the Three Amigos as my top 3, but I just really don't like Ned Niederlander.
Oh, wow.
I have not seen this film in so long.
It's got blue balls.
Okay. I like the answer. A little spin on it. I like this. Max Gumbo Johnson, what's your number 3?
Number 3 is Joe Buck from Midnight Cowboy. John Voight.
Is he chivalrous?
He's chivalrous. He starts to be. He wants to be a male prostitute, and he just can't bring himself to do it.
He's a whore.
So he takes in Ratso Rizzo, a sickly Dustin Hoffman, and
nice.
Gets him across the country on a bus before he dies.
Whoa.
I like that. He went like full-fledged. Let me tell you what I think on that one.
Yeah. Old Joe Buck.
Oh, Joe Buck.
The sports announcer.
Adam, the producer. Greatest producer. Number 3, chivalrous cowboy.
The rootinest, tootinest cowboy of all time. Woody. Toy Story.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not
Wait
bad.
A second.
Somebody had to say it.
Adam, so, that is a good answer.
Yeah, it's an okay answer.
I like my number
hey,
three.
He was chivalrous.
He was chivalrous.
He was. Chivalrous. Sure, yeah.
Always helped his friends out.
Chivalrous.
Okay, so it's chivalrous. Not just about a woman. It's about helping people.
Sure. They can be cowgirls.
Oh, well, if it's about helping people, Jesse. I love my number three. Big Lebowski cowboy.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The cowboy.
Did he even have a name? He was just the cowboy.
I think it was just the cowboy.
I like your look too, man. The whole cowboy thing.
Yeah. No, say it right. I like your look too. Man.
I like your style.
Basically, dude. Sam like Elliott style, anything.
Right. Yeah, say Roadhouse, the same guy.
Sam Elliott.
But the only problem I had with that, we never seen him on a pasture with a cow on a horse, but I think you knew he could.
But he drank a mean sarsaparilla.
Right.
Yeah. Man, Savage, number three for you.
Had a specific criteria for this. It had to be cowboys based on real people, like Buck is a real person.
Okay.
So my number three, I'm going with Billy Bob Thornton, David Crockett in the Alamo.
That's awful.
No, it's not.
He's not a cowboy.
He is a cowboy.
Why
David
is he
Crockett.
Not a cowboy? Yeah,
David Crockett was a cowboy.
Time period. He was king of the wild frontier.
I actually put down John Wayne.
He's more like a frontiersman
in the Alamo.
Well, yeah,
it's the same time period.
Same.
Yeah. He had a raccoon hat, not a cowboy hat.
He did
say,
not. It's
you
David
should say
Crockett.
John Wayne.
No, it's.
You just should have said Deliverance, and then that would have been fine.
Yeah.
Just say John Wayne, 1960 Alamo.
No, no. Billy Bob Thornton. David Crockett. David sure. Crockett. It's David.
Interpret
Crockett.
For me,
not
Matthew
song,
Saint Hoodie. You're number two, chivalrous cowboys.
Ed Bell.
Who the hell is Ed Bell?
Oh, my God. No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah. That's a cowboy.
That is a cowboy.
I guess so. Did he have cows?
What? If I'm going to
He's
get a cowboy.
A cowboy.
Yeah, kidding me?
Right. Okay.
He knew what that cow gun was with the air.
Yeah.
He knew what that was.
He knew what that looked like. He had a dream about it.
He had a dream.
Let me tell you about his dream.
He was a visionary cowboy.
Hmm.
I'd rather hear somebody else's number two.
How about Max Gumbo Johnson telling us what that is?
I hate to repeat, but I went with Woody from Toy Story Trilogy.
I didn't even think of that. It's a great cowboy.
Pick a different story.
That's a good answer.
Go with Wayne, 1960 Elmo.
nice answer. Producer, number two for you.
Tuck from Valley of Guanji.
Don't know what the hell that is.
It's probably
Ray Harryhausen, ocean dinosaurs.
Is it like zombie
dinosaurs?
Cowboys?
Yeah.
Did he ride them?
No.
Did
you see this? He was a cowboy in a rodeo.
Can I get a twofer? Because I'm tied in the same film. If you're tied, I can give a twofer.
Sure.
Open Range, Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall. I love those cowboys.
Yeah.
They were cowboys on the range.
Chivalrous? Were they chivalrous?
Well, heck yeah. They went over to Annette Bening. They were chivalrous, man. They stood up for what was right. They helped their fellow man. He stood up for the woman. And they defended their ground at her house. And I love the part where Robert Duvall smacks that one guy in the head with a board and says, okay, now listen to me out of your good ear. What are we up to now, number one?
Me? No, I'm on my number two.
Oh, number two. Sorry, Savage, go.
Let me go with Luke Perry, Lane Frost in 8 seconds.
Jesus. That's a rodeo cowboy.
He was a real cowboy. I mean, Lane Frost is a real cowboy.
Are we going to have to define cowboy?
Right? He rode cows. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. I take that back. You kind of stalled out with Luke Perry.
Lane Frost is a real guy.
Where you lost me.
Yeah. Real cowboy guy.
He was a real cowboy guy.
Right.
Wasn't that in Say Anything with John Cusack? How about you, cowboy guy? What do you have? Cowboy guy.
That's right. What you cowboy guys? Right.
Luke Perry, Lane Frost, 8 seconds.
Not bad. We up to number ones?
Number ones.
Ooh.
Number one.
That means that Matthew Saint Hoodie is going to he's going to blow the lid, my hat off my head with his number one.
You guys are all about to change all of your number ones.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
My number one, okay. Armando Casadima Padre.
Oh,
that's awesome,
Armando.
Armando Alvarez.
Interesante.
Not. I don't know. Is that a cowboy? He's just
a
guy in
a cowboy.
He's a caballero.
He's a cowboy.
Okay.
He's a caballero.
I guess he was. It opens up with him and a cow. What am I talking about?
Oh, sure thing.
A calf.
Right.
Is a calf not a cow?
Okay. Fake calf.
It's the sentiment that counts.
Doesn't matter. That's a great pick.
Yeah. We're talking about cowboys inspired by the film we talked about earlier, 2011 Buck, the documentary. Up to number ones. Is that you, Gumbo?
Well, I thought we were going to him first.
Oh, we can do that. Producer, what's your number one chivalrous cowboys in film?
Okay. Nathan Fillon in Serenity.
Is it Fillon or Fillon?
It's whatever Fillon. His name is.
Really? Over Han Solo?
I kind of like that answer.
Okay.
Because the spaceship because looked like a horse.
No, and it is kind of a Western. It's kind of a space
Western.
It's a space Western.
And he's a cowboy in a weird odd way.
Yes.
And he was very nice to the whore that was on there.
Whore.
I'd have been nice to her, too, crying out loud. Jeez Louise. I'd have been For nice Christ to every woman on that ship.
He was great to his crew.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a good captain.
He lost me.
He was.
What's your number one,
really
Gumbo?
To that crew. Ugh.
Jeez. Gumbo.
Shane.
Of course it's Shane.
Shane
on me. I can hardly remember the film.
If Shane and Armando were in like a niceness contest, who would win?
Shane would win.
No, come on. Armando.
Shane would totally. The only reason Shane got in a fight was because somebody called him a soda pop drinking sodbuster.
A soda pop.
You
want to
set Shane off?
Buzzer.
You call him a soda pop drinking sodbuster, and look like Jack Palance, yeah. Buddy. You're done.
You win. You win.
I don't know which way to go with my number one. I have like three. I don't know what to default to. You know, I want to say Unforgiven. Yeah, I'm going to go there. Unforgiven. I had to check for a minute. Unforgiven. It's Clint Eastwood, best Western of all time.
But William is he a chivalrous cowboy? William,
he. I'm going to tell you why he's chivalrous.
Because he was nobody, saving some whores.
Well, he was doing that, but also his wife. He never quit being the strong cowboy for her.
Sally?
Even after, Sally Feathers. No, Sally Two Trees.
It's a line from the movie.
Right. Okay, yeah,
Sally.
She gave me the evil eye.
Well, she's Injun. You know how they are.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Wrong film. That might have happened after the fire went out in the campfire
sure
there.
That's
but
too
I'm not
thrown
sure.
in it.
I'm going to go with Clint Eastwood. One of my favorite films of all time. All
right.
If I can mention it,
right.
I will. That's right.
There you go. You just did.
William Money. And does that give us over? Give us over
no,
to
it's
the
me.
Savage here. Number one.
Yeah.
What is it?
Number one.
I'll be your Huckleberry hoodie. Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer, and Tombstone.
That's the best line in that
was
whole movie.
Was he really chivalrous, though?
He was.
I think
he was very chivalrous.
Don't say anything bad about Doc Holliday because I'm related to him.
Hot dog Doc Holliday?
Hot dog Doc Holliday.
Well, your mother's maiden name is Holliday. You come from a holiday clan.
Because I come from the holidays.
I'll
yes.
be your Huckleberry.
Every day's a holiday when you show up, Max. Yeah, there you go. well, let's get into real quickly what I put out on Twitter. I put this out late, so... I didn't get a chance to see exactly what came back except right before I came here. Chris Crespo, I am Chris Crespo, says Shane has to be number one. Come on.
Thank you.
He was a nice cowboy.
Talkie Gazette, Doc Brown and Han Solo.
Han Solo?
Yeah, of course.
That's way better than Serenity.
He's even, got zero
he
answer
had,
for that.
Han Solo even had sort of a horse. He had Chewbacca.
Well, Serenity, all right.
Yeah,
it was Millennium Falcon was he rode.
So there it is, guys. There's our show tonight. That is it. Buck 2011, queued up by Matthew St. Hoodie. I think we gave it a pretty good score. Right?
We all went up except for Adam.
Oh gosh,
how many raging studs? Did
31.
We give
it ended up at a 31.
31 raging studs.
Wild stallions.
Oh, wild stallions.
Wild stallions. I'm
wild
sorry.
Stallions. Well, I hear raging studs so much that it kind of got
confused. So basically, we're
brain.
On that woman's
hey, Gary.
Farm.
That damn Gary. Who is he? I bet he's wearing a cowboy hat. Anyways, that's the film, and it inspired our top three chivalrous cowboys. What? It
ended up at 34. I'm sorry. 34.
Oh, we bumped up 34. So it's on Netflix now. If you want a documentary, if you want to. I don't know, maybe be inspired, maybe be very, very upset like the producer. I think that's the minority there, but I think
he should
like
be a vegetarian, I would think. And we'll talk to him about that a little later.
Yeah. Yep.
I say you can cue it up and watch it. That brings it to our big reveal. Oh, my God. Is it really his choice?
Yeah.
It is.
Is it up to you now? Oh,
the big reveal.
It's going to be a big gut punch reveal because usually we put it through the Adam filter.
Right.
We did not do this. We have no idea what he says.
It's my favorite Japanese horror movie of all time,
God,
Suicide
please.
Animal Murder.
That was good.
Please let it not be a Godzilla film. But go ahead, producer, what is it? What are we going to watch next week?
Okay, let's visit the House of the Mouse.
Uh-oh.
Escape from Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I want to see this.
Have
Disney
you seen
World.
This?
I have not seen this. I want to see this.
Are you sure it's on Netflix?
It is.
I am positive. It just came out.
It's the movie they filmed Incognito at Disney World.
Okay, Belport. Okay.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick.
Good. I'm glad you picked that so someone can explain it to me.
Is it a documentary?
Have you seen
this? No.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
I've been dying to see this movie. I've yet to see this movie.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad. Okay. You have me excited to see House of Tomorrow.
Escape from Tomorrow.
All right, so that's it. Let's end this one here. That's where this one ends. As always, thank you for tuning in to The Queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on this film, go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Just tell us. Oh, okay. Tell us what you think. We're always happy to hear from you. Tell us what you think.
Bone, people.
Yeah. But until then, join us again next week. We're going to queue up and knock down Edge of Tomorrow.
Escape from Tomorrow.
Oh.
Edge of Tomorrow is the Tom Cruise
movie. Oh, sorry.
Which is supposed to be pretty good.
Escape,
it was fantastic.
Escape from Tomorrow, selected by the greatest producer, Adam. We're going to cue it. We're going to review it. And until then, however you say, adios, amigos.